Hello, hello. Welcome back or welcome to Morning Ray. I'm your host, Lan or Alana, and I'm coming to you from my couch on a gloomy Friday, painting the picture for you in my gray sweat set, comfy with freshly dyed hair, nails that are starting to be too long where it is getting annoying to type on the computer and do things. Thank God I'm getting them done in 2 days and I'm contemplating what color to get. When you were listening to this episode, I would have already gotten them done, but right now I have the deep red maroon French tip nails. I think I'm gonna do like a brown with a purpley undertone situation. I guess that goes in theme with my hair because I just colored my hair this morning. You guys know I love getting a gloss, a semi-permanent color to one, just make it look super fresh and glossy and shiny and healthy. I love going a little bit darker than my natural color, which I think is so funny because for years I was bleaching my hair. I was getting balayage, I was getting highlights and whatnot. Ombre was what I started with. If you are new here, you're probably like, what the heck? Alana, you went lighter in the past? Yes, I did. And I think it looks good at the time. Now looking back, my natural color and being darker definitely suits me far better. I don't know why no one told me to do this sooner, but it's been 2 years since I've been dark and I've truly never looked back. But nonetheless, today I did something a little bit different. Usually I just do a red undertone. Today we did a red violet undertone and I feel like it's definitely giving cherry cola hair vibes, but I love it. I just feel so fresh and it's fun for the winter months. I really do love it. I go to Nicole Park Hill in Toronto. She's located around Casa Loma. She does my color and then Alyssa Money cuts my hair. I normally see Alyssa and then a week or 2 weeks later I see Nicole. My color and my trims usually line up because I like to go every 3 or 4 months or so, but I feel spoiled because then I get 2 hair appointments out of it and I love getting my hair styled. I love having my hair washed by the hairdresser. If I could have that done every single time I had to wash my hair, like I literally would. If I could get a blowout once a week, every week for the rest of my life, I would be the happiest girl in the world. I'm putting that energy out there. I want to be rich enough so that I can afford to do that on a weekly basis. I don't know if it would take the joy out of it or it would just make my life even better. Maybe a mix of both, but I love it so much. I love when my hair gets styled. I schedule my workouts around it so that I can leave it for as long as possible, looking fresh for as long as possible. But anyways, you guys, this morning, I'm recording this on Friday. This morning, Hot Girl Sweat times Jaybird tickets went on sale and they sold out in 10 minutes. Which is absolutely crazy, absolute mayhem. I'm so excited to sweat with you guys on Sunday to reset us from Halloween weekend, to get us back into our winter arc, our 75 hot challenge, and just realign us overall. I've been trying to sort out my Halloween costumes on the topic of Halloween weekend, and I have been procrastinating. I love Halloween. I love dressing up. I love putting on a little sexy, slutty outfit and feeling really good and like empowered and good about myself. But I hate spending money on it because these are things that I'm most likely never going to wear again. And also I'm at the point where I'm 25. I don't want to be as slutty as I was in high school and university. Like I'm past that point. I'm more on the classy side of things, but then you don't want to have a boring costume. And then I feel like there's pressure to be super creative, but I also just don't feel like spending money on something like this. Like to me, as much as I love it, it's not worth it to spend $50 on like an accessory for a costume. I'm thinking of just doing Saltburn and doing the costume that he wears to the costume party. Like the white tank top, blue jeans, skinny belt, gold wings on my back. I saw Ashton Earl do it and I was like, honestly, kind of a vibe, kind of simple, not too complex. All I have to get is maybe a new white tank top and gold wings and that seems pretty chill. I'm also doing Laura Croft for a house party I have on the Friday. I need to get all like the different straps that she wears, but I'm pretty sure, and maybe mini shorts. I want to get those micro leather shorts from somewhere. Probably will get from Revolve just because I know it will come super fast. But also, I don't want to spend $100, $200 on micro shorts. Like, am I going to wear them again? Like, I know shorts are the new mini skirt situation. But you guys, I just, sorry to be complaining and ranty over here, but I don't know, anyone else just not want to spend money for Halloween? Like, to me, it's just like, that's kind of just where I'm at. But I boxed this past week for the first time in a hot sec. I really don't know the last time I boxed with my trainer, Adam. And you guys, I'm not as sore today, but the past 2 days, I've been so sore. My lats are sore, my arms are sore. And then I did reformer on Wednesday. So I did boxing on Tuesday, reformer on Wednesday. And the class I did was super heavy on legs and core and obliques. So I literally, the next day on Thursday, I felt, even by end of day Wednesday, I just felt like I was wearing a corset because all my muscles around my entire torso were so sore that every single time I moved, it hurt and it ached. But it is a good feeling, because if you've been listening to the pod for a while, then you would know that it takes me a lot to get sore. Like, I have to do something I haven't done before, or something so new, or like just a really different way of using my muscles, especially when it comes to my core, in order to get sore. My upper body gets sore a lot more easily because I am weak on my upper body. However, my arms have never looked as toned as they are. Truly sleeper build though, because when they're down, they just look like noodles. But if I flex my arms, like I noticed this when I was doing my hair the other day, not to be like full of myself over here, but my arms are looking strong. And I'm accrediting this to reformer Pilates, because I used to work with a trainer and I would lift heavy and do arm stuff all the time. Actually, we did mostly legs, but my arms have never looked like this. Even when I was dancing competitively, they never looked like this. And honestly, I'm proud of myself. I built that myself. And then last little update before we got into current faves, and before I didn't even introduce the topic of today's episode, but you guys already know from the title of the episode that your thoughts really are your reality. And I have spoken about this here and there, but I really wanted to dive into it today because I was just having a lot of epiphanies this week. And I spoke to a psychic on Monday. I got this psychic from my friend Maddie Orlando. And I'm going all over the place. Sorry if it's really chatty today. I hope you enjoy the super chatty podcast episodes. I want you to feel like you're my friend, because you guys are my friends. But can you tell I've had 3 coffees today? Anyway, where was I going with this? I spoke to a psychic on Monday, and this is my third time speaking to a psychic. I last spoke to one about 2 years ago, and then the time before that, 2 years before that. So like approximately like every 2 years, I decide that I want to speak to a psychic. And this was the first reading where I feel like it had a lot of really good things in it and just like really interesting takes. I feel like whenever I speak to a psychic, they're always like, the guy you are seeing is not for you. It's not going to work out. It's not going to play out. You're going to learn a lot from this person, but he's not your person. And it is the first time that I have not gotten that in a reading, which kind of crazy. She gave so much insight, and she also gave me Reiki to get rid of exes and to foster new opportunities and open doors for new opportunities, because she was saying there's like a lot of opportunities on the horizon and things with travel and just like exciting things and things that felt really in alignment for where I'm at and how I've been feeling about my life. So I don't know, I think psychics are fun. Obviously, always take it with a grain of salt, and I always talk about seeing the psychic to my therapist, and I had therapy on Thursday this week, so yesterday, and I was like, I know you don't like psychics, but I spoke to one again. She's like, oh, Alana. But she found like the insights quite interesting. She always likes to hear that. But back to what I was saying before all of this, I don't know if this is like, because I know I have very like mild, acute, like OCD tendencies. I cannot function or do work or do anything or go to bed unless like my apartment is perfectly clean. Like, I cannot have clutter, specifically on my kitchen island, because that's where everything builds up. Like, if I know that there's stuff in my recycling bin or my garbage is too full, I have to clear it out, even though I can't really see it from like where I'm sitting right now in my living room. It's covered, like it's blocked by my island since it's on the other side, but I just can't function. Like, everything has to be in its home. It has to be like clean to like a specific level, an acceptable level to myself. I don't know if this is just a me thing. Let me know. I hope I'm not alone in this, but I just like, I can't function or go to bed unless things are clean and everything is in its home. But let's go on to my current faves. Guys, I'm obsessed with my Kindle. I got the new Kindle Paperwhite, the 7-inch one, the 2024 version, and I love her. I'm reading the book 13. I'm on Goodreads, and I also started a profile on Fable because that was requested by some of you guys. Fable is really cute, but I do really love my Kindle. I've been getting asked if I think it's worth it. And so far, I've had it for about a week now, and I'm really happy with it. It's super lightweight and easy to hold, easy to take places. I used Anna's Archive to download my books. I haven't gotten any cases or anything. I honestly just like it as is, if I'm being honest. I'm always like very like minimalistic with all of my electronics. Like I just like a clear case on my iPhone. I have a clear case on my computer. I just love everything super minimalistic and clean, but really do love my Kindle and I'm super content with that purchase. No regrets. I've also really been in love with my workout routine. If you guys cannot tell, I feel like I'm just in such a good groove. I have my spot. I have my instructors that I go to and I'm feeling really, really strong. And it's not exactly the same thing every week, which I do love. Like I have my reformer class at Jaybird that I do every single week. Sometimes I do two of them. Sometimes it's only one. I'll do a hot Pilates mat class at Jaybird or another studio. I've been trying out Legree Plus and making that like a social thing with my friend Paige.
I swear me and my girlfriends are always talking about this, and maybe I just live on the side of the side of the internet that everyone is just trying to figure out their cycles. Like us as girls, we are trying to figure out our cycles, whether we're on birth control or not, whether we're coming off of birth control, and we're just trying to figure out our cycles, cycle sync, you know, figure out the hormones and whatnot. There's so many different methods and it can definitely be confusing and draining, and there's so many side effects and symptoms that come along with things just feeling a little out of whack. And I know I've been on a journey to manage my hormones and find a better way to just like manage my PMS and feeling just not like myself. And that is why I started taking Hormone Harmony. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. You guys know I love my adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes or just life as you know it. And Hormone Harmony can really help with racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Everything you think of when you think of your hormones feeling all out of whack, it can help. And you'll feel like yourself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Alana at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Alana for 15% off today. Thank you, Happy Mammoth Hormone Harmony, for sponsoring today's episode of Morning Ray.
And then like going to a different run club every week, that's been really fun. I was supposed to go to Lauren Mantha this morning, but my alarm went off at 6:30 and the run club was at 7:15. And I was just like, no, not today. Not feeling it. I'm too tired and it's too cold. And I just snoozed my alarm and went back to bed. But really been loving going to different run clubs, going to workout events. I went to a workout event for the media classes at Solus Movement. It's a studio that just opened. It's where I did my Pilates cert. So that was fun. I just love finding community and social aspects surrounding fitness lately. I feel like for so long after dancing competitively and it always being in a group environment, all I wanted to do was train alone. And I think I'm finally getting back to my roots of wanting community and wanting to work out with other people and making it a social thing. It feels really nice and it's been really fulfilling and rewarding, making me happy. Like, I don't know. It's really just the little things that count and like add up and can add to your life. It doesn't have to be such a big thing at all. And I think that's also like the basis behind why I started Hot Girl Sweat. I wanted to create that community and that environment and the opportunity for you guys to work out with one another and for me to connect with you and meet you in real life. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. And with that, obviously this was another favorite, but just prioritizing community focused things and doing things and activities where I can actually get to connect with people and make memories with them and have deeper conversations and shared experiences. And that has really just been really fulfilling for me. not so much focusing on such materialistic things anymore and just focusing on the thing that us humans need at like our baseline, and that's just like connection with one another. And I know it can be hard to find in the city, but if I can find it in a city like Toronto, I think you can find it too, and you can find it in your city or wherever you live in the world. There's always community. You just have to be open and curious about finding it. I've really been obsessed with JC and Chelsea and What We Said podcast. I've been a long time listener. Funny thing about What We Said podcast, I remember when they just started it, but I had just only been, I've been following JC, I think, because of Aspen Ovard, but I hadn't listened to the podcast yet, and they came out with their first round of merch, and I bought the merch before I had even been an avid listener to the pod, which I just think is so funny. But I have found myself really looking forward to their podcast episodes. It feels like I have besties in my apartment, and the reactions are so hilarious. I love all the stories that they read and the advice columns and everything, and they're truly just like my comfort podcast, and I really love them. And then lastly, I've been into doing my hair less like super tightly curled and more like looser waves, a blowout look. I just love the look right now, and I feel like that's a trend within the hair space. Also have been slowly switching to hot coffee, doing like the hot coffee in the morning, cold coffee at night, or getting a hot coffee when I'm out. It's definitely giving fall in here. Okay, let's get into the bulk of the episode. The reason you clicked on this episode, I have 5 pages of this outline, 4 and a quarter. And I really dive deep into this topic. I was researching a lot using ChatGPT. Did anyone else think it was ChatGPT? I know Chelsea and JC were talking about this on the What We Said podcast, and they were just joking around and calling ChatGPT. But I was just, I don't know, I never used to use it, and honestly, it's so much more helpful and insightful than Google, and I feel like it just helped me articulate my thoughts and feelings on this topic and the whole idea. So I really dived in deep. We're going really deep with this, but I have really started to believe, and I think I've been like thinking about this for a while now, but I think in the past week or so, I've really come to realize, or in past month, your thoughts are your reality. Our thoughts shape how we perceive the world and influence our emotions and our actions, and can either cultivate a positive and constructive thinking environment, thinking that we can create a more fulfilling reality for ourselves. But it really just is a reminder that our mindset has such a large impact on our lives and how they play out. And as a result, like, our ideas can significantly impact our reality. The way you think impacts and shapes your perceptions, your attitudes, your actions, which in turn affect how you experience the world. And from my research, this concept is referred to as either mindset or like the mental framework in which you perceive your reality. There's a few different ways and ideas that can influence our reality, and let me list them off for you. So you can have your perception events. So this means that you attach to events. This means that the meaning you attach to events is filtered through your own beliefs and expectations. For example, if you believe that challenges are opportunities for growth as opposed to a burden or something to turn you away, you are more likely to respond to difficulties with resilience, whereas a negative mindset might lead to feelings of defeat, like that this is like the dead end, you can't get past this. It can also impact your behavior and action. So your ideas and thoughts are what influence what actions you take. If you per se have more positive, goal-oriented, a growth mindset way of thinking, that can motivate you to pursue what you want. But if you have a more negative or self-defeating ideas, that might prevent you from trying altogether, because you're just like, oh, why should I even try? Versus if you're positive, you're like, oh, this is just a challenge. Like, I can do that. Like, I'm strong enough to get over this obstacle and move forward. Another way is self-fulfilling prophecies. So this is almost like manifestation in a way, right? And so is like the next one that I'm going to mention, which is the attraction of experiences. But if you believe that something is going to happen, your subconscious might steer you and your behaviors in ways that make that outcome more likely. So for example, if you believe that you are capable of success, you might then take more risks and seize more opportunities. Like, you will seek out more opportunities around you. You will be more hyper aware of those things. Reversely, if you believe that failure is inevitable, it could lead to avoidance or inaction bringing about that very failure. And then that leads us into the fourth one, but that's attraction of experiences. So this is kind of like the law of attraction manifestation. Your ideas and thoughts create vibrations that align with certain experiences, drawing similar energy into your life. So like the energy you put out is the energy you attract. While this is something that is more metaphysical, it's supported by psychology to the extent that your thoughts influence the kinds of people and situations you attract, which goes to show and prove that how I always say, like, the top five people you surround yourself with are the top five people that will like influence your life, your decisions, the way you think, what situations you find yourself in. The energy you put out is the type of person that you're going to attract to you and the type of people that you're going to have surrounding you. And if you want to know what your future looks like, look at who you're friends with. Okay, this brings us to perception. So we have discussed the few ways in which our ideas can influence our reality. Perception of events, behavior and action, self-fulfilling prophecies, and the attraction of experiences, which is like your law of attraction. So to further dive into how our thoughts are our reality and how it impacts that, cognitive behavioral theory emphasizes the connection between thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Essentially, our perceptions can lead to certain cognitive patterns, which as a result impact our emotional responses and actions. So as I said before, if you see a challenge as an opportunity, you are more likely to approach it with enthusiasm and resilience, as opposed to if you see a challenge as like a negative thing, you will just like admit defeat. Similarly, social constructivism suggests that our realities are shaped by our interactions and experiences, meaning that our environment, our culture, and our relationships can all influence how we interpret situations and ourselves. This is why I say, if you want to know what your future is, look at who you're friends with and be wary of the people who you spend the most amount of time with. Our perceptions as a result can create a self-reinforcing cycle that can impact our mental well-being and the way we engage with the world around us. Think about it. I'm sure you guys all have an idea of someone in your life who has a very optimistic mindset and is always finding the silver lining, versus like you also probably have someone in your life that you know of that has a pessimistic mindset. They're very much like a pick me, everything happens to me, not for me, I can't do this, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. You're not locked into that perception and way of thinking though. And I'm living proof that you can change the way you perceive things in a multitude of ways that can lead to changes in your future behavior, the way you approach things, the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel about the world, and the way that you see the world. And this is sometimes referred to as cognitive restructuring, where as an individual, you identify and challenge these negative thought patterns by replacing them with more positive or realistic ones. So methods typically are things like mindfulness, therapy, so cognitive behavioral therapy, or also known as CBT, and self-reflection can really help individuals like yourself become more aware of your thoughts and beliefs and like reframe and rewire the way in which you respond, react, and think. By practicing new ways of thinking and responding, you are able to then shift your self-perception and how you view your own circumstances. So for example, if you previously saw yourself as being incapable, you might start to view challenges as an opportunity for growth, which can then lead to a more proactive and confident behavior. This kind of change isn't something that's going to happen overnight, but it rather requires time and effort, and many people find it transformative. I am one of those people. I've been doing cognitive behavioral therapy for almost 4 years now, which is really freaking crazy. And I feel like I am a completely different person than I was when I first started therapy. I think I have grown and transformed and in such beautiful way since starting. I feel so much more self-confident. My self-esteem is so much higher. I'm able to make more confident decisions. I'm able to reframe things and not give into intrusive and anxious thoughts. I feel like I have a much more optimistic mindset and perception of myself and of others and the world. It really is such a crazy thing. But I'm gonna go through all the different ways in which you too can create a better reality for yourself through changing the way in which you think about yourself, and in turn have that impact your actions and just have more of a growth mindset an abundance mindset and whatnot. The first thing to do is to practice self-awareness. And you can do this through either mindfulness or by challenging assumptions. So in mindfulness, that means being aware of your thoughts and feelings in the moment. And using mindfulness, meditation, or journaling can really help you notice these negative or limiting beliefs about yourself and the world. For me, like, I feel a lot of my negative thoughts and limiting beliefs and self-doubts happen around dating and being triggered from previous experiences or things that feel like past experiences when I was in a more negative, desperate, insecure mindset. And certain things can kind of trigger me to feel that way, and then that can cause me to spiral. But I think the first thing is being self-aware and learning how to get yourself out of that. I am now at a point where I'm aware when I'm having these negative thoughts and feelings. I can identify them as being negative, and I know that they're not healthy for me to spiral, and it's not going to do me any benefit to sit in this way of thinking and to give into this way of thinking. So I have my ways to get myself out of it, like journaling or putting on music and having a dance party and literally just shaking it off and just like reminding myself and counteracting those negative thoughts with positive, more realistic ones, very much like what we were speaking about before. And that's also kind of like challenging assumptions. So paying attention to those automatic thoughts, especially those that are self-critical or pessimistic, like ask yourself, is this true? What evidence do I have for or against this belief? I have been having a lot of self-doubt when it comes to teaching Pilates and starting a business. And I have to continuously just counteract those negative thoughts because you will want to bully yourself. I think that's the difference between someone who has a pessimistic versus an optimistic mindset. If you have an optimistic mindset, if you are self-aware, if you have learned how to create more positive and realistic thoughts within your mental space, then you can counteract these negative thoughts and you can choose not to give into them and you can choose to not let them become your reality. That brings us into reframing negative thinking. And there's two different ways to reframe negative thinking. I talk about framing the situation, the circumstances, the story, your thoughts, a lot on this podcast, but there are two different ways. So there's either cognitive restructuring or by practicing gratitude, which is so simple, so easy. I think gratitude is spoken about a lot, but it really does have a positive impact on your life and a positive impact on the way in which you view yourself and you view others and you view your reality and the world around you. And by focusing on what's going well in your life, you can shift from a deficit mindset to one of abundance and appreciation. It really helps alter your overall outlook on the world because it can be easy to focus on what's going wrong and what you don't have and not feeling like you have enough. But if you focus on what you do have, it can really shed some light and bring light into the parts that you should be focusing on, and also just like ground yourself as well from like an ego standpoint. I love to do this either in like the 5-minute journal is a great place to start, or through morning meditation using an app like Headspace or Calm, or even like Spotify has so many meditations available, or just like mind dumping in your journal and writing out the things that you're grateful for, or even in the morning when you're brushing your teeth or getting ready and looking at yourself in the mirror, just saying out loud the things that you're grateful for, listing 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for, even one, is such a beautiful practice. And when it comes to cognitive restructuring, it really just involves identifying thinking patterns. So either having black or white thinking or always thinking of the worst case scenario. And I'm guilty of this. The only way to move forward and to get out of this is to just replace the way in which you think. So replace those black and white thinking patterns, those distorted thinking patterns, with more balanced, realistic thoughts. So for example, instead of saying, I always fail, reframe it to, I didn't succeed this time, but I can learn and improve. It's the same way as reframing like failures as just like stepping stones and learning blocks to get to where you need to get. It's the thing that's just going to make you stronger. Or every single time that you go through a heartbreak, this is just making me so much more stronger or so much more agile to bring me closer to being the best version of myself for my person. Like everything happens for me, not to me. You can really just like reframe, or using I get to versus I have to when it comes to doing work, or I get to move my body instead of I have to work out. So we've practiced self-awareness, we have reframed negative thinking, and now we're going to discuss cultivating a growth mindset. So when it comes to cultivating a growth mindset, you want to both embrace challenges and focus on effort over outcome. Instead of viewing setbacks as failures, view them as learning experiences. When you believe that you can grow and improve with effort, you're more likely to persevere through difficulties and adapt to change. Instead of seeing the setback as such a negative and terrible thing and that it's the end of the world, it is something that adds character to you, it adds to your story, it benefits you, it makes you stronger, it increases your skill set. Like, do you see how different that is as opposed to like just saying, oh, woe is me? If you believe that you can grow and improve by overcoming these challenges, it will just put you in such a better headspace, and you will not be phased when things, or I think you'll always be phased or like disappointed if something doesn't go perfect, but you won't be so hard on yourself or let that hold you back from moving forward. I think it's really easy to have your self-worth being tied to results, but I think when you shift your self-worth from being tied to those results to being tied to your effort, learning, and persistence, this will change in turn how you view yourself and challenges. It's also far more rewarding, and it's something that you have control in. You get to decide how much effort, time, etc. you put into something. But the outcome isn't always going to be a direct result of that, unfortunately. Think about posting on social media, for example. You're not always going to be rewarded in the way in which you want to be rewarded, instantly become like an overnight sensation. You could be putting in a lot of work and you can be aware of it, but sometimes the outcome isn't what you want it to be right away. Unfortunately, think of it like the process and the effort and the time, etc., is how you can internally validate yourself, and the results of what come out of that are like an external validation. Prioritize internal validation, and the results, the external validation, is just a cherry on top if it ends up being the way in which you want it to be. Like I said before, surrounding yourself with positive influences is so important in how you can learn to shape your reality and your thoughts because of that. And that can be through supportive relationships and curating your environment. Surround yourself with people who uplift you and reflect a more positive view of the world. Their perspectives can really influence how you see yourself and others and the world and your reality. I'm always trying to surround myself with like-minded individuals or people who I aspire to be like. You really are the top five people who you surround yourself with. And with that, also be careful of the media, the social media platforms, the content you consume. Choose those that inspire growth, positivity, and an expansive view of the world, because just as the top five people you surround yourself with are important, so are the top five people whose content you are consuming. Create this world in your social media world that inspires and motivates you and encourages you to be the highest version of yourself. Creating an environment online that can help benefit you in this way is so useful, especially if you don't have relationships in your personal life yet that foster this way of thinking. But if you do, it can also help supplement it and add to those relationships. Furthermore, setting new intentions and affirmations through practicing positive beliefs and visualization, so these are manifestation techniques, are other ways to really transform your thoughts into ones of abundance, positivity, and therefore impacting your reality. So by creating positive affirmations, that can counter old limiting beliefs. If you are someone who struggles with self-doubt, repeat, I am capable and deserving of success. Over time, these affirmations can actually rewire your thinking. I know you're probably thinking, Alana, like, what is saying I'm capable and deserving of success or I'm capable and deserving of love repetitively actually going to do? It does do something, I promise you. I wrote them out every day for so long and I don't practice them now as much as I should be. I definitely use them to counteract negative thoughts a lot, or like reframe things when I say them in a more negative mindset. In my head, I'll just counteract it with a more positive statement, but it really does impact. I think the way that you speak to yourself is everything and anything. And like I said, your thoughts really are your reality. And in terms of visualization, you can use visualization techniques to really imagine yourself as your highest self, as the person you want to become. This really just reinforces the belief that transformation is possible, that that you can transform your headspace to reflect the reality that you want to be living and the type of person that you want to be and aspire to be and who that higher version of yourself is and embody and make you capable of showing up as that person in your day-to-day life. With that, engaging in new experiences, I talk about this a lot and I've spoken about my experiences in doing this, but step outside of your comfort zone and travel or learn. Get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Seek out new experiences and environments that challenge your current worldview. It really just broadens your perspective and helps see yourself and the world differently. And this is just like a different experience to focusing on like the way you talk to yourself. I think experiences can really just open up new avenues for thought and perception. Experiencing different cultures, people, activities can really, again, open your mind to new ways of thinking and perceiving the world. So you might run into someone who has a way of thinking and doing life, and just like the way in which they move in the world can be super inspiring and eye-opening to you. And maybe you want to adopt some of those practices, and you wouldn't have had that opportunity had you not traveled. That's really why I preach taking the opportunity to do solo travel and to experience things on your own without the influence of the people that you have at home. And then obviously, if you are struggling with doing all of these things on your own and you would like to have someone help you, seeking professional guidance from a therapist can really help you work through those deeper beliefs about yourself and the world, especially anything you might have developed through childhood or as a response to trauma. CBT is really effective for reframing negative thought patterns. I'm an example, living example in your ears of someone who has used CBT to really change and rewire the way in which I think and see myself and see the world around me. I'm so beyond grateful for taking time to invest in myself and being able to invest in myself in this way. I go once a month now. I started off going a lot more frequently, but it really has changed the way in which I see the world, and I feel like I see it so much brighter. I trust myself so much more. I believe in myself so much more in a multitude of ways, whether it's in a professional setting, in my career, whether it's in how I hold myself and communicate with my friends and friendships, whether it's in my relationships with my mom, my dad, my sister, my family. And most especially in my romantic relationships when it comes to dating and the way in which I show myself respect and I communicate my needs and wants and I'm able to add into relationships. I think it really is such a crazy thing. And I talk about therapy a lot on here and I've spoken about BetterHelp and whatnot. But CBT really is effective. It really is. Don't just overlook it, but you have to be consistent with it. It's perfect in combination with all of the things that I've spoken about already. And then with that, I think it's important to always just regularly reflect and adjust when it comes to really working on transforming your thoughts and creating that reality that you want. Set aside time to reflect on your thoughts and behaviors either through journaling or meditation. I may not be the biggest meditator. I don't really sit and meditate in the traditional way, but to me, movement is meditation, and that's when I think the best. But I think it's important to be self-aware and to reflect on how we have changed, whether it's for the better or the worse, and then make adjustments as is necessary. Changing perceptions is a continuous process. You don't just do it once and then you're fixed. The brain is this really cool and complicated organ that we have, but as you evolve, you might have new limited beliefs or blind spots that could arise. So it's important to stay open and continuously challenge the way in which you think and reframe the way in which you think about yourself and the world and others. But I really do think we all have the power to live a more abundant, positive, growth-oriented life. But it's up to you to challenge the beliefs that you have of yourself, others, and your capabilities in order to do so. You are not limited to your circumstances. You are not stuck in this closed-minded way of thinking, this pessimistic mind. You can change it. You have every power to change the world in which you live in and the way you go about living your life. And you can learn and train yourself to be more open to taking risks, to become more confident in your abilities, to see challenges as opportunities, to embrace fear and turn that into courage and use it to empower you to step out of your comfort zone and to be more comfortable with the uncomfortable. There are so many amazing things that you can do with your mind. You just have to want it. So I hope that episode was helpful. I hope there were a lot of takeaways, tangible takeaways, things that were maybe eye-opening to you. I know it's kind of all over the place, but that's just where my mind is at right now and how I'm communicating. I encourage you to grab a notebook and go back and listen and take notes again if you haven't already. But I love you guys so much. Make sure to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave comments on Spotify. I love chatting with you guys. And I'll see you guys next week. Love you. Bye.